Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Joniak.
And it keeps getting better for the Bears defense.
The voice of your Chicago Bears.
Second and 15 for Fitzpatrick. Snap, fake, pressure hits. Down he goes! Sacks Fitzpatrick inside the 20-yard line of Tampa Bay. No stopping. Hakeem Hicks.
Twitter.com/Jeff Joniak.
Snap, Trubisky, turn right. He's got Gabriel for the touchdown. And matching Johnny Lujack from 1949 against the Chicago Cardinals. Six touchdown throws today by second-year quarterback Mitch Trubisky. Bears are bringing a late blitz. Pressure coming.
Ball
on the ground. Khalil Mack with the forced fumble. If he is an NFC Defensive Player of the Month, I don't know who would be.
Jeff Joniak with Mully and Haw.
Smiles across the board from the 3-1 Bears. They are victorious after a 6-touchdown pass performance by second-year quarterback Mitch Trubisky and a suffocating defense that sustained throughout the day. They beat him 48-10.
You have got to be kidding me. Fade to black.
Jeff Joniak, you are ridiculous.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Jeff Joniak is the voice of the Bears. The pregame begins Sunday at 9 a.m. on News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Doing great, and we're having some fun these days, aren't we?
Well, I think there's a lot to like, and I think that you look at the Bears and where they're at, and you look around the division, and certainly, you know, Green Bay, they probably have an easier time of it this week, but they are fading, and they are not playing well, and the fine folks of Vegas turning on them, and we've discussed it this morning, the idea that the Bears it went from. Kind of a long shot for them to win the division to, I believe now they're, you know, you bet $100, you get 150 back for Minnesota, 160 back for the Bears. They are plus 160. That is a very nice position to be in. Plus 160 with a bullet, Jeff.
I don't know what any of that means with the bullet, but I like the love. There is a lot of love out there for the Bears right now. I think fans are in a position where they just can't wait to see what's next, and whether it's from that defense or if this offense is what we saw against Tampa Bay, can they build off of that and be something like that? And I think the players feel the same way, honestly. From everything I was hearing throughout the course of the week, they couldn't wait to get back on the practice field. And Khalil Mack even talking about the fact that it really made him feel really good about this team, how they were focused and went back to work. And I've talked to several guys about this. It was a good Monday, and they're building off of that. They really want to get back on the field. They like playing with each other.
Jeff, one of the things we haven't really talked about much this week was Akeem Hicks, and he avoided the suspension. He paid a fine for his altercation with the official against the Buccaneers. He addressed the media yesterday for the first time. What did you take away from that? It seemed like he was sincere and contrite.
Yeah. Very humble about what the situation was. And I know we had Bilal Nichols last night on Bears All Access. And, you know, Keem told the media that he didn't want to be a hypocrite because he's telling guys, hey, don't make mistakes, don't make mistakes. And he made a mistake. And so he stood before the team and he felt that he had to really lay it out there to them. And I think the players appreciated it. Whatever he told the media, Bilal Nichols repeated almost verbatim, so you know the message was true. It wasn't just lip service to the media. I think he was genuinely upset and humbled by what exactly happened there with that referee.
This segment with Jeff Joniak brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free. And Jeff, we know there's a beat up team that they're going to play. I don't know what's going to happen with Cameron Wake. I know he hasn't practiced, but that doesn't mean he can't play. Laremy Tunsil, however, has been on the field, but there are concussion protocols, and there's a big question mark as to whether or not he'll be able to play. They're already down Josh Sitton. They're down the center. They would conceivably have three of their top five linemen out if indeed that is the case, which, given the Bears' defensive front, would be a huge advantage to Chicago.
Yeah, thin and troubled right now, that line, and even thinner, as you're pointing out. They do have a decent tackle in Juwan James on the right side. He's a talented guy. Tunsil, obviously, is their most talented guy, but they did not fare well with Tunsil's replacement last week and Sam Young, so they got a guy, Zach Sterup. He's 6'9". He could be in there if Tunsil isn't, and they feel he's a better, at least the reaction is he's a better potential tackle to deal with what the Bears could be throwing at him. But, you know, this could be a monster game in many different ways, and not only Mac. And Mac, the attention to Mac's going to be acute. It has to be. So, again, what we keep talking about, other guys going to jump into the party a little bit. And I think Akeem Hicks, he's going to have his engine revved up. And you know when it is. You can see it. You can watch it. When he gets serious out there, he's almost impossible to deal with. So that'll be some kind of battle. You know, back at training camp, and I don't know if you guys had time on yet about this, talking about the game. When Ted Larson was with the Bears, those guys, that was Akeem. I think that was Akeem's first year with the Bears. Those practices were insane between those two guys. There was a battle. It was really contentious between the two of those guys. So those were some fun battles to watch at training camp. And maybe the same thing's going to happen. He's their starting left guard.
Jeff, when you have an off week, you have the benefit to take a step back and kind of self-study into the Bears. In doing that, you look at Mitch Trubisky's attempted 130 passes. A little surprising, only 22 have been to tight ends. That's been such a focal point of the offseason kind of discussion in the passing game, 19 to Trey Burton. How surprising is that to you, and did Matt Nagy address that this week in talking about what's next in terms of the offense?
You know, he did. He did talk about it on the coach's show with me. I brought up that very topic about the tight ends. I love the tight end game in this sport, so it was flourishing. It was flourishing from the OTAs all the way through to training camp, and guys were getting a lot of targets. It's coming, and I think that's the one thing he's been consistent about, and I even brought it up to him. I said, hey, the one thing about you, if you say something, you do come back to it eventually and say, okay, this is how it's going to be, and it has always been that way. So he hasn't really said anything he hasn't put any teeth into. And I think the whole process of the offense is, and it even goes back to Jordan Howard and how many touches he may or may not get from week to week, it's just a week-to-week thing, and it's based on matchups. It's based on many different factors, and it's going to be this way throughout the course of the year. There are going to be downturns for different positions and upticks for others. And I think I just have to guess, and I can't doubt what he's saying. I'm going to have to trust that process. I think the players do it. He said players have come to him actually repeatedly and said, hey, do what you have to do. I'm okay with it. Meaning if I'm not going to be the central focus of this game plan this week, I get it. It's for the greater good. I'm on board. And Matt Nagy's he's proven to be very honest and organic about everything and very, I forgot the word I was going to use, but transparent about what he's doing.
Does that include Jordan Howard coming in and saying he doesn't want carries?
I don't know if he did that. No, I don't know that, but I mean, the fact of the matter is this is a guy who's quite proud of what he can accomplish. And, you know, it's similar to what Miami's going on right now with Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake. Their numbers are quite similar, and there's a flip-flop going on there in Miami, too, about who's getting carries and how many touches for different reasons. So I think it'll all work out. I think there's a need for all three running backs on this team, and I think there's a time and place for everything.
Jeff, let's get to the important stuff. Now, with the Bears in orange jerseys, how hard will it be to see the numbers, and what color will the sleeve that Mitch will wear be?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I would assume it's going to be orange, right?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be the case?
Is it the same sleeve? I thought he wanted the same sleeve.
He's
got to
have the same
white
one, right? Yeah. It's going to clash. And what color will the piping be?
I don't know, but that'll be an interesting thing. He did. Do you guys know? I don't know.
No, I don't know.
No,
I don't like the orange jerseys, though.
Yeah, I do too.
No, I don't like them. I'm not a fan.
Oh, you don't like them?
No.
You don't like them. Okay, you don't like them.
No, I like the dark blue, the navy blue with blue and navy blue and make it look black and then really create some black and blue.
Yeah, the navy blue on navy blue is very cool. I like it too. But I'm a traditionalist. I like just the normal uniforms, all these other things they do to make money, you know, for having people buy the jerseys. I get it. But it is the Halloween month, so... Hey, let's go with the little orange. The players apparently want it. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but guys are happy about it.
Bears are all dressed up as a playoff contender.
Yeah, well, hey, they get this one, and what a topic of conversation it'll be next week at Soldier Field. You know, just one thing.
Jeff,
blinders. Blinders are on. That is Matt Nagy's theme for the week. Don't listen, don't watch, don't just focus on this.
Yeah.
He was going to do it ad nauseum this week to the players. Just keep focused on Miami. Players getting together in the locker room, telling other players, focus, just focus, focus, focus. It's a long season.
And, you know, well, last we saw the Bears, they were having a rout over Tampa, and the quarterback was throwing six touchdowns, and everybody was going crazy about the fact that they were suddenly a well-rounded team. A lot of that stuff looked like a phenomenal scheme, and the scheme was working, and we're still waiting on the repeat performance. What is the expectation of the quarterback this week? Is it, do you want to see a repeat of that, which would be great, or is it competence, competence, competence?
Yeah, I just want to see growth, Mike, honestly. I mean, he ain't throwing six touchdowns every game. If he is, we got something special in Chicago coming. He might. I mean, that's just it. We all don't know. I just want to see growth, progress, and have the entire offense grow with him and new playmakers emerge and guys keep earning confidence in each other, and then you become something special. So, you know, along the way, there's going to be some bumps. There's no doubt about it. There are coordinators out there, defensive coordinators, that can really mess with young quarterbacks. So those days are still coming yet. So we haven't seen, we haven't seen the best, and I don't think we've seen the worst of a young quarterback like Mitch Trubisky. So there are going to be moments that you're going to shake your head. There's going to be moments he's going to shake his head, and there's going to be moments of great joy about what he does.
Do you stay in the team hotel, or maybe, I don't know, camp out with one of the assistant coaches head coach down there?
You know I'm camping out in the team hotel and taking it easy, my friend. It's too early in the morning, and it's too long of a day to have any kind of sort of fun down in South Beach.
All right, buddy.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right, guys.
Take care.
That's our guy, Jeff Joniak. It's interesting because Jeff would obviously have a good relationship with Adam Gase, with Dow Logans, and you know, this is so much fun watching this team right now. And he's absolutely right. If they go down there and take care of business and – come out
they
of
need
there.
To take care of business before you get to the next step.
Focus.
The New England possibilities are fun to consider. The Tom Brady visit is great to anticipate.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Because if they come home losers on Sunday night, it's going to be Monday, like more of the same. Same old Bears.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This hour is brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car? Search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental difference.
You go back to what some of these veteran leaders do is they raise the level of these other guys and these younger guys and a guy like Bilal, you know, Nichols. And so that's for us to have that depth there and across the board. It speaks volumes to those guys. I'll keep repeating what Ryan and the scouts have done with our depth and with our players on this team, I think it's going to really help us in the end.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That was Matt Nagy. He, of course, the head coach of the Bears, and he is the man who is charged with the development of Mitchell Trubisky, a charge that is made easier by the fact that there have been a bunch of rule changes in the NFL, and you are certainly seeing a lot of other quarterbacks getting on the field and being able to have some success. And we talked about the rule changes and the
college game
adaptation
is more like the NFL game than more than ever.
Well, let's. Tom Brady brought this point up. We should listen to what Tom had to say on WEEI radio 2 days ago when he was talking about the idea of the quarterback development and all the young guys that we see in the league right now.
This new generation of QBs, it's very exciting because they seem more ready than QBs were when you were a kid.
Yeah, a lot of those guys are being thrown into the mix. I mean, there's definitely a lot of young guys playing. And I mean, I think that's always the case. There's always young guys playing it. Sometimes it's quarterbacks, sometimes it's running backs, receivers, just depending on kind of the status of where teams are at. But yeah, I mean, some of those guys are playing really well. It's pretty awesome. When I was a four-string quarterback my rookie year, so I was eating nachos in the stands four games. I wasn't playing games, so I had a chance to sit back and learn. And you know, some other guys have had those chances. You know, and when you're thrown in the mix, it's pretty impressive.
Looking back, was that a benefit, Tom? Did you feel like you learned a lot rather than being thrown into it in a situation where you had to start right away for a team?
Yeah, you know, I think it was a different time. You know, I think football was different then. You know, I think now, I think in some ways, it's pro football is more of glorified college football. So I think in some ways it's maybe the transition. It's a more similar game than what it used to be, you know, when I first started. I think football now is removing some of the physical elements of the game. It's just, it's more of a space game. And, you know, you see a lot of kind of college plays, you know, more in the pro game now than what I remember when I started. So, you know, that's just kind of how things have went over the last bunch of years.
And we talked about it earlier in the 5 at 5. We talked about this idea that you are seeing more quarterbacks hit the field quicker than in previous, seasons of the NFL. Now, Tom was a, what, sixth round pick?
Yeah.
So he wasn't going to be getting on the field.
There was no pressure, no time clock ticking. When was he going to make his first start?
But he will be going against this week. The big game this week is him against Patrick Mahomes, who, of course, is the young gunslinger that is starting for Kansas City and throwing up unbelievable numbers. And
who sat out last year.
And did not play last year.
One start as a rookie.
Right. But
did
now,
a lot of watching.
Did a lot of watching. Now on the field, learned the scheme, and is having unbelievable success and is a strong-armed guy. And we'll see if they do anything. You know, it didn't, maybe coming off his worst game, although playing a really good Jacksonville team, he threw a couple of picks in that game, but he still managed to throw a touchdown and they still won the game handily. It'll be very interesting to see how or if the great defensive mind of Bill Belichick can come up with something that will change the way we view Patrick Mahomes, or if the Chiefs finally get their first loss of the season, given how bad that defense has been.
And your belief is that there's a connection between the way the game has changed in the NFL with quarterbacks getting an opportunity quicker, which I think is valid, and the numbers sort of support that.
Well, what I'm saying, David, is that we're seeing first-round draft picks in particular get on the field immediately and have some success. We're seeing
rookies
guys,
were 4-0 last week.
Carson Wentz would have been a Super Bowl hero had he not been hurt. Certainly, a lot of people believe that Jared Goff in his third season is going to be a Super Bowl hero. Didn't play particularly well, Goff the first year, but gets a new coach, a guy that is one of these offensive-minded guys that can take a bunch of plays and adapt them and bring them into what they're doing. You know, you look at Baker Mayfield. Now, he played a ton. He used all 5 years of eligibility. Maybe he is a little more mature and a little farther along than some of these guys coming in. Certainly, you look at Sam Donaldson. He's played a lot, but he's a younger guy.
Yeah.
Donaldson. And you start talking about quarterbacks and who's an impact guy and who isn't and who's going to be and how quickly they get on the field and the success that you see from guys. In the old days, Aaron Rodgers, didn't play for 3 years, right? Now, he, again, fell to the lower first round, but still a first-round draft pick. Nowadays, you got to get these guys up and running. You got to get a young coach that can call plays that are similar to the ones they used in college. The game has changed so much because you're not looking for guys to fit into a pro-style offense. They don't play a pro-style offense in college for the most part, right? And so you're looking at guys that are going to run the similar schemes to the ones they ran in college, something you could never do in the NFL before, because if you were doing RPO, you'd get guys killed. If you had open season on quarterbacks, it was open season on the quarterback. We're not seeing the same number of hits. We're not seeing the quarterbacks get hit, and we're not seeing we're seeing a lot of spacing that Tom Brady talked about. We're seeing a different game in the NFL.
But RPOs expose the quarterback to more contact.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
So I think it has as much to do that's part of it. But I think the other part of it is that there's more pressure than ever on executives to win quickly and coaches to win quickly.
I think that's always been there, David. I think the thing that
stuns
me. Well,
not with Aaron Rodgers, the example. I mean, he had
Favre ahead of him, and they were able to burn a pick, basically.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to dismiss that. I think that there's more pressure than there was 10 years ago on a GM to win now, and that's why they're accelerating the growth of these guys, because they can't sit them because the scrutiny around these first round draft picks because of whatever, social media, because of the fan base, because of the escalating prices, whatever it is, there's pressure to see these guys go from draft pick to the field. And the process of having them sit out, the patience level is not there.
But what I'm saying, we're not arguing the same thing. What I'm saying is, because of the change of the game itself, these guys are able to adapt faster than they could in previous years and previous generations. You're not playing a pro-style offense. You're playing more of what the college game has become. You're playing more. Look at what the Bears are doing. They're not asking Mitchell Trubisky to go back and sit back in the pocket and be a read-and-react quarterback. And I don't think he could do that if they wanted him to. I think they're trying to play to his strengths, and they're using their scheme to kind of scheme guys open and give him open runners.
Because they can't afford
to let
him sit. They can't afford to make him a pocket quarterback, because he'll be fired by the time he's able to get on the field.
Exactly. RPO is the purest form of communism.
Okay. But here's the fact. The fact of the matter is that over the last 4 years, you've had 13 quarterbacks taken in the first round of the draft. At this point, you could say in 2016, the third quarterback taken, Paxton Lynch, is a bust.
Right.
He didn't work out.
He is not on the Broncos any longer.
Maybe someday we'll say that Baker Mayfield's a bust, or Sam Donaldson's a bust, or Josh Rosen, or Josh Allen, or maybe Lamar Jackson. He's not playing yet, so it's hard to call him a bust.
I'm not ready to declare those four quarterbacks that won last week bust or booms. I mean, I think that there's a lot to like about Mayfield. There's a lot to like about Darnold. There's a lot to like about Rosen. There's a lot to like about these guys. But I don't know that any of them have removed doubt yet.
Sam Darnold, by the way, will be coming to Chicago, right? We'll see him at Soldier Field.
He's part of the AFC East Tour.
And we can bring on some of this conversation. We'll bring it back and talk about that sort of thing. But, you know, the point is, Joe, that the complicated offense of the NFL has shifted and changed. And we are seeing a different type of offense. You know, the Bears have made their change, and off we go. So there you go.
Do you think it's a positive thing for the NFL in general? It used to be laughed about, bringing some of that stuff from college to the pros.
I don't think it's overall a net gain, no. I don't think that
it's
you're
communism.
Seeing, you know, you're, first of all, RPOs, in theory, as much as you're protecting the quarterback, exposes your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I don't know that that's a good idea for anybody.
And I'm sorry, I keep calling Sam Darnold Sam Darnoldson. I don't know where that came from.
Sam Donaldson, maybe?
I don't know. Sam's got to be hit.
Mr. President!
Yeah, it'd be weird to see that guy try to play quarterback. Is he still with us? He is. Okay.
Okay, good. Now you can make fun of him.
Yeah, there you go.
I was eating nachos in the stands for games. I wasn't playing games.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Thank you, Joe. It's interesting to hear Tom say that, because I don't think he was in the stands eating nachos, and I don't know that he's had a nacho in several...
I don't think he eats nachos anymore.
No. How many years since he had a nacho?
Kale nachos?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think so.
But Tom, look at what he's done. You know, and I'm sure we'll be discussing this next week. But what that guy's done to remain in the league, the changes that he's made, not just to his physical being. I mean, go look at a picture of him at the combine. The guy was out of shape, and you know, it was ridiculous. The amount of time he puts into film study is ridiculous.
Also,
if you
scheme.
Watch that Tom versus Time thing,
yeah,
my God.
The Facebook documentary, that, essentially.
He just basically watches tape.
He's obsessed with perfection. But I also think the system benefits him. If you watch the Patriots closely, look, they will take the occasional shot downfield. Most of his throws are very much calculated risk. They're short passing game. They're extended handoffs. He can still make the deep out throw. He can still make the throws that matter. But they aren't a lot of they don't attempt to stretch the field that much. They don't put him in harm's way. The ball comes out of his hand quickly. He's not exposed to a lot of danger.
Is he still the best quarterback in the league?
No.
Who is?
I don't think so. I think
one-legged Aaron Rodgers?
I think
Drew Brees
Aaron Rodgers went healthy.
Jose
Drew Brees
Altuve
is up there. Brady can make the argument. All those three, it probably starts with them.
Yeah. I just think it's fascinating to watch what's happening in the league right now and the explosion of points. And
well, you said something interesting during the break when I referred to it. Well, you know, Tom Brady's last trip to Chicago next week. You said, well, how do you know that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, Tom Brady, they're playing the AFC East. He won't come back to Chicago unless what's the rotation? It would be another 4 years that they'd play the AFC East, and then you'd have to you'd have to look at how teams finish in their division to determine if it's home or away. But I mean, as much as we dismiss it and say that Tom Brady will never be back,
be back.
Well, I mean, it's absurd that he's playing right now. How old is Tom? 41?
I think he's 41 right now.
That's insane that he can still play quarterback in the NFL. But again, he's as you said, he is obsessed. He's doing everything humanly possible to keep his body capable of holding up an NFL season.
If you had to win one game, who'd be your quarterback? What quarterback would you pick?
Right now?
I'd take Rodgers, healthy Rodgers.
Well, healthy, but he's not healthy. He's on one knee, and I'd probably take Tom. I mean, just look at the number of world championships the guy has. Look at the rings. How can you, you know?
That's a lot him.
Joe Montana? I thought it was really interesting. Did you see Mahomes? Was asked about Brady, is he the best quarterback ever or whatever? And he said, well, yeah, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, if you like. He can't really say that because Joe Montana played in Kansas City, right? Isn't that what it comes down to?
Maybe.
Or should he just acknowledge that Tom's the greatest ever? He said that he tried to base some of his game on Tom. I mean, he said all the nice things.
Being diplomatic, yeah.
But I think he was trying. I mean, can we agree that Tom Brady's the best quarterback ever?
I think so.
Can everybody say that without
Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever?
Or are you not allowed to say that if you're playing against them?
No, I think you don't want to say that if you're playing against them. I don't think that you probably, you know, what's protocol there? You should show respect, but not that too much respect.
Okay.
Show praise, but not over the top.
How good is Mahomes?
Mahomes is very good. I think he's going to have a tough time on Sunday night, though. I think Bill Belichick is, you know, prepared. That defense is going to be confusing. But I think Mahomes is at the top of that quarterback class, no question.
Mahomes, Belichick, the man who ruined Peyton Manning, right? Can we agree on that? That he devised strategies and plans that ruined the career of one Peyton Manning, or prevents us from saying that Peyton is the greatest quarterback ever? Not
I don't
Tom,
think anybody ruined his career. I don't think any.
His
I think
career
certainly
is
was,
ruined.
It was an impediment. It certainly got in his way, but I don't
saying,
think he ruined anybody's career.
We don't. If it weren't for the Patriots, would we not talk about Peyton Manning as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever? What happened with the Patriots against Manning? Manning, if you watched him, was always gesticulating and yelling out plays and pointing out where something was coming, and he was doing all this stuff, and it was. They had a bunch of pre-snap stuff going on that scared the hell out of the defense. For whatever reason, they never got caught up with that in New England. And it's hard not to get caught up with it when he's doing all that stuff, because you think he's changing plays and telling – a lot of it is just the guy was making a lot of gestures and movements.
But we think of Tom Brady as the greatest because of the 5 Super Bowl rings.
Right, and I'm saying, that prevented Peyton from getting 5 Super Bowl
rings. And
those
are the metrics we use to measure quarterbacks. I mean, but I'm not convinced the Colts would have won 5 Super Bowls with Peyton Manning as a quarterback because the rest of the team wasn't as good as the Patriots' rest of the team was up with Brady.
We mentioned these quarterbacks. We mentioned the 13 guys that have been drafted over the last 4 years. And again, we're talking about Winston and Mariota and Goff and Carson Wentz and Mitch and Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and all the guys this year. Who among that group is going to win the Super Bowl first? Wentz already missed his boat, right?
I think that if you mentioned Wentz, right? Wentz or
they're
Goff.
They're struggling.
Well, but Wentz or Goff are probably the guys that you would expect, and they're the most experienced of that group. I think then Patrick Mahomes, obviously, with the Chiefs, although that defense scares you.
Yeah. I mean, listen, here, you know, there's a lot yet to be learned in this football season. We are going
to
find
what I'm saying
out
about those guys that you all want these to say guys aren't bust yet.
Well, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe they're all busts. But I'm just saying
those
what
rookies.
what we've seen is an influx of quarterbacks from the college game that have had an immediate impact in the NFL.
Yep.
And that is not something you usually see. You see quarterbacks come in and play. You see, you know, Troy Aikman go winless. You see Peyton Manning set interception records. What we're seeing now is quarterbacks that can come in and play and change the fortunes of their teams. I mean, Cleveland is a good team. It's not just the quarterback, but he's got a little magic to him. People seem to believe that he's doing something special. Darnold, you watch him. He looks to me like he's got little kind of happy feet going. You know, he really kind of.
He has some bad habits at times.
Yeah.
He has some great moments at times. He's a typical young quarterback.
Right. I'm very curious to see how that works out. But there's, I mean, you go up and down the line. It's a very interesting group because they're getting to play quickly and because they're running the same plays they did in college, which is probably why they're able to adapt as quickly as they can. And that's what I'm saying, David. I don't know that we felt that way about these guys in previous seasons.
Well, the Browns had to change their offense because they wanted to make it conducive for Baker Mayfield to succeed because there was pressure again on him to succeed. So I think everything is related.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This week, Mully and Haw got you ready for the Bears' Week 6 matchup against the Dolphins with expert analysis from longtime NFL writer Dan Pompey.
Who's got the edge of quarterback?
Well, I'm going to say Mitch Trubisky does because Ryan Tannehill has to go against the Bears' defense. So I think he's got a much more difficult assignment than Trubisky does, and I think if it was the other way around, I'd probably pick Tannehill. I think Trubisky's confidence should be at an all-time high.
670 The Score football analyst Greg Gabriel.
The talk about, is Jordan Howard going to be a vital part of this offense? Well, there's one thing the teams have done against Miami in the last few weeks, and that's run the ball. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bears' game plan actually is.
The Chicago Tribune's Brad Biggs.
I talked to a scout about a week and a half back and mentioned to him that the Bears had four straight coming up against the AFC East, and his point was that Miami's not a bad football team and that playing down there is a slight advantage for the Dolphins. That being said, I picked the Bears to win. I think it'll be relatively close. I got 24-20.
Will the first place Bears leave Miami with their fourth consecutive win? Mully, Haw, and your reaction to Bears-Dolphins Monday morning starting at 5 a.m.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and this segment of our show brought to you by Bet Chicago for betting and fantasy football coverage. Download the app today and bet for free.
It's a good question. Will the Bears take care of business in Miami? Because I think that if they do, then all the things that we have been talking about the Bears for the first four games and of the season are true. Credibility returns to them, with them to Chicago if they can beat the Dolphins. If not, you've got a familiar feeling. You're like, oh, well, they kind of fooled us. Well, you know, because it's a winnable game, Mully. It's an opportunity for the Bears to go down there, take advantage of a banged-up offensive line, and do what they do with their defense and come home winners.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, you know, these things always come down to mistakes when you start sort of figuring out what to expect out of a game. We know that Ryan Tannehill had three picks last week.
Yep.
And obviously, if he's turning the ball over, the Bears are going to win. We also know that Miami has been pretty good about intercepting the ball. I believe they have 10 thus far on the year. They've had at least one in every game. So that would be something to reinforce to Mitch. You know, you don't want to reinforce a negative. You don't want him to. You don't want to say don't throw a pick, don't throw a pick. You want to say, you know, make good decisions. But
check downs, not touchdowns.
Read that as,
I mean, you want touchdowns, but be willing to take a check down. I think it comes down to three things. You're right. But for the Bears, the Dolphins are the second overall team in the league in takeaways. So you can't ignore that. So you have to be smart with the football if you miss Trubisky. Number one is avoid the turnover. I think number two, you know, you have to make the Dolphins one-dimensional because Tannehill and Gase are a pretty good combination. When you look at it, he's coming off a bad game. he will turn the football over. But he's 12-6 with Adam Gase. His passer rating is 93.4 with Adam Gase. Adam Gase gets the best out of his quarterback. You've got to make the Dolphins one-dimensional so you can come after him, so you can take advantage and you can make him maybe throw you the football. And the third thing is that you don't want to overreact to Jordan Howard's, you know, reaction or mood because it wasn't good after the Tampa game. But get him more involved. You want to get him about 15 touches. I think getting him into the mix, getting a lather going, making him a bigger part of your offense should be a priority. And if it is, I think the Bears come home ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you look at in terms of intangibles in this game. Obviously, there's familiar faces. You know, Adam Gase was the Bears offensive coordinator, and this is the first time he's facing them as a head coach. He interviewed for the head coaching job at the same time that John Fox did and obviously came in as the coordinator instead. We know that he was replaced as coordinator by Dow Logans, and now he is the offense coordinator with Adam Gase. I don't know if that scares you or anything else. It's just an intangible. It's just something to be looking for.
Did Dow Logans fall upward? I mean, he left the Bears after three seasons. He was a big reason why Mitch Trubisky did not take the big step last year that you expected him to take or wanted him to take. That offense wasn't conducive to a young quarterback kind of getting it. It wasn't what you were describing before and sort of like, oh, this dynamic offense. It certainly isn't what we're seeing now. And yet here, Dow Loggins leaves Chicago with the John Fox staff, and he gets hired by a head coach that is respected and known as a pretty good offensive mind himself.
Yeah, we're not really going to get much into that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no doubt that I don't think I expected Dow Loggins to get another offensive coordinator job.
Weren't you surprised?
But he had got one before. I mean, you don't know the relationship between people. You don't know how much Gase values him, and you don't know if he feels like the guy. You know, I mean, you talk to people about Dow Loggins, and you get two different answers. You got one that was like he was a laughable, no good coach, and another one that he was a hardworking guy. That
grinder.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I would imagine Gase knows what he's looking for in those things. You know, to me, this is going to be a real simple test for the Bears. It's you know, their defense has forced 11 turnovers thus far, and they've only turned the ball over 5 times. So you keep that ratio going, and you're going to win games. It's as simple as that. And if the Bears defense – you got to combat the Bears defense if you're Miami. And Gase is smart enough to understand and to let Tannehill know you can – you can throw the ball, but you're going to have to use your passing game as sort of ball control, and you're going to have to get rid of the ball in a hurry. The Bears' pass rush is fearsome, and that would scare any team. So if you're preparing for that rush, what do you want to do? You want to run the football, and you want to get rid of the ball in a hurry. And so if they are able to kind of eat up some clock to hold on to the ball – then that's going to throw the rhythm of the Bears offense. The Bears, you know, the Bears have scored what, first in 3 of their 4 games. If they can score first,
get a lead,
that's huge.
Come after the quarterback.
If you score off that, then that makes everything so much easier.
85, 86 degrees.
Force them to be one dimensional.
It's going to be really hot on Sunday.
It's going to be hot,
and I think the conditioning could be an issue. At the same time, defensively, you feel pretty good about your depth. You wonder what. How humid it'll be, and this would be the first time they've really played in these conditions. They haven't played in 2 weeks now. I mean, that's where maybe the off week you start to wonder. But I think these are all factors we're looking at. The Bears should win this game.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're favored in the game, right? The Bears are now going to be favored in most games, and they're a good football team, and they're coming off a break. You know, the only question, and I think Jeff tried to answer it for us, but, you know, how fat are they? You know, how much did they rest on their laurels? How much did that break?
How do they handle success?
Well, that's it. It's real easy to be the hunter, to go after teams and to feel like you're – the Bears' status rose while they were on a break. They are now considered a different team than when they went into that break. They had a really big win, and then they had to stop. And that's why I said to you, David, that I wish they were – either playing a opponent they know well, like the Vikings, or had a huge game in the division,
right?
Or they were not having a break at all.
Where I said it was good for their confidence, you're worried that it may have been too good for their confidence. Maybe they built up too much.
You know, it sounds as if
is overconfidence a concern?
I think it sounds as if, from talking to Jeff, that it certainly it was in the mind of the coaches, and they tried to they talked about focus, and they tried to, that I wasn't the only one that whose mind that went through. And hopefully they did. They nipped it in the bud and all that. But that's you know, that you said it well. Dealing with success is a lot different than dealing with failure. You know, everyone talks about how, oh, you got to have confidence as long as you have confidence. It's a fine line between being confident and still breaking your hump and doing the work and feeling like you've won before you've played. And you go on the road in the NFL, week-to-week league, I expect the Bears to win the game, and they should win the game. I expect it to be a little bit harder than maybe we anticipate.
Coming off six touchdown passes, what do you expect Mitch Trubisky's numbers to look like, and what would be acceptable? I think that, you know, if you're 19 of 25 for 235 yards, two touchdowns and an interception, fine. Take your passer rating of 93 and go home. As long as you get a W, you don't have to be gaudy.
I think if he gets to a 90 passer rating, I'd be happy with his performance. I think that, you know, I think we've seen a new high watermark from Mitch, but I don't know that we've seen the new standard. And by that, I don't think he's at a point yet where he's going to do that every week. And I think that you got to keep that in mind a little bit. And again, I would imagine that, you know, who's the offense coordinator or defense coordinator down? It's Matt Burke, right? Is that, I'm trying to remember who's, it's Burke.
For the Dolphins.
Yeah,
yes.
He's a Dartmouth-educated guy, the bright guy. He probably, you know, he has to be looking at that tape and you know, having a hard swallow and trying to figure out how, you know, what do we do with this kid? How do we keep him from being in a comfort level? And, it, you know, a lot of it starts with playing well on the back end.
And covering the receivers.
Well, exactly.
And not being out schemed.
Making him make decisions.
As
that's
good
what you
as Mitch
want.
Was, Matt Nagy was better.
There you go. Fair enough. So, you know, and I'm not saying he can't do that again, but, you know, it's a game the Bears should win. If they are who we think they are, it's a game they should win. And hopefully
I agree.
They will. All right. We're going to bring in our compatriots and our colleagues and our dear beloved friends, Connor and Dan next, and talk to them about all things sports related. We like to stick to sports. That's what we do here on the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.